Hi, this is Moby, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
The following is a public service announcement from Just Food. Help bring live chickens into food challenge communities through your donations to the Just Food City Chicken Project 2011. The City Chicken Project would not be possible without the volunteer hours, donations large and small, and the vibrant energy and ideas of the communities we work with. Just Food is a nonprofit organization that connects New York City communities and local and urban farmers with the resources and support they need to make fresh, locally grown food accessible to all. To donate, search on Kickstarter.com for Just Food and find their City Chicken Project. For more information on Just Food, visit justfood.org or call 212-645-9880. That's 212-645-9880. Let's keep making New York City a better place to live and eat.
You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman.
Good afternoon. I think we need the recliners in here. This is out of control. Jack,
my engineer, Jack Inslee.
I'm talking here. Can we put in a requisition form for that, Jack?
I'm going to run to the store right now.
Thanks.
Okay, so Jack's with us. Andrew's with us.
I'm not going to be here, though. I'll be getting that recliner.
Oh,
thank God. I'm getting tired. I am tired, Joanne.
Oh.
The phone number is 718-497-2128.
Okay, call us during the show. We'd love to hear from you. We broadcast every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. And if you can't listen live, you can listen to the archives on the website. Every episode's archived. Or every show is available for a free podcast. Just get it off the website. Today's show is...
Writing off your vacation.
Write off your vacation. I'm going to tell you a couple of little things that are possible. It's not. It's totally legal. And we're going to see if you can figure out a way to write your trips off during the year, off your tax return.
I haven't been on a vacation in 3 years.
Well, you're going on a nice vacation this year.
I'm waiting for it.
Yeah. Andrew's going to Italy this year.
I'm very stressed about it. Andrew,
after today's show, I want to see if you come up with an idea of how to write your vacation off, okay? I'm going to give you some ideas.
I will. I got it.
Okay. So the survey is, you know, the average American spends about $800 for vacation. That's for a family of four.
Get out of here.
No, that's the average American.
That's ridiculous. Where do they go? Down the block to a hotel?
I don't know. They don't go to Disney World for $800.
No, I don't know.
Okay,
I had a friend who went to Disneyland recently by himself. He said it was very fun.
Yeah, of course it's fun. Traveling alone.
30-year-old man going to Disneyland by himself. I was like, dude, you look like a pedophile.
No.
You look like a pedophile.
He
said it was fantastic because he got to the front of the lines everywhere. Because everyone rolls in big groups and families.
Yeah.
He said it was very expensive, though.
It's very expensive. So if you have a job.
Was that good?
If you have a job, you might be able to figure out how to connect your job to your vacation and write off some part or all of your vacation if you do it the right way. So this is why many professional organizations host their conferences at, you know, vacation tourist hotspots, you know, big Las Vegas conventions and Hawaii conferences and stuff like that. So people can go to these wonderful locations, have a little vacation, and write off some or most of their vacation. It's a great thing. So how do you do it? Well, first of all, the trip has got to be primarily for business and within the U.S. You can
write within the U.S.
Wait, no. Let me finish. And so, if it's in the U.S., the cost of transportation is fully deductible both ways. And if it's international, the trip has to be at least 75% business in order to write off your plane ticket. Okay. Now, cruises have special rules. You can write off a cruise. To be deductible, the business-related cruise has to be aboard a U.S. ship, and it can't go to foreign ports, and you could deduct only up to $2,000 a year, regardless of the length of the travel. Okay, so, and you need to keep very detailed records.
What do you do on a cruise on business?
Well, they might have instead of having a conference out in Las Vegas in a hotel, they can have a conference on a cruise ship, and you just cruise out to Texas or cruise to Miami.
I don't like cruises. Do you like cruises?
Well, they're not my favorite. I don't think so.
I went on a cruise once. I wasn't overwhelmed with it.
No, I'd never been on a cruise. I don't think I've ever been on a cruise. It doesn't interest me. Okay, so you don't have to work all day, and you can party all night, right? And leave your business when it's done. A few extra days on either end won't disqualify your deductions, but make sure the primary purpose of the trip is business, and you have to document it, okay? And you cannot deduct any part that's recreational. So if you go and rent, you know, an RV to make the trip from San Francisco to LA down US Highway 1, and your business was completely in San Francisco, the RV rental will be not deductible.
What if you bring one of your business partners with you and you talk on the car ride?
Well, then if it's a business a trip, then it'll be deductible. But when you go to Disney World,
this is exciting.
When you go to Disney World,
how do I write off Italy?
Well, let's talk about some more, and then you'll see if you can fit it in. You'll tell me, okay? So then your family members, okay? You can take your family members, but they're probably not going to be a write-off on the trip unless they're part of your business. So unless your spouse works for you or is your partner or somehow or another your family members. Like if I was traveling with you and my daughter and we were actually doing accounting or taxes at a client, we could write the whole family trip off. That would work.
Can I write off my trips to Florida?
If you go down there to work.
What if I help out one of our family members in Florida?
Well, no. You have to put in so many hours. Okay.
What if I do their tax return while I'm there?
Okay. So now while on...
Is that not possible? Can I write off a portion?
If you actually go to work down there, yes. So while on the trip, you know, your meals for the business trip, the business portion of the trip is deductible. But as all meals are in all business write-offs, only 50% of it is going to be a write-off.
Can I ask you a question? Can I write off my lunches? Here?
When you go to work every day?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
It has nothing to do with a business meal. You have to eat lunch every day. Whether you go and you eat with yourself or you eat with a friend.
I only ate with two croissants today. Does that count?
You know what?
And a cup of coffee.
You work at food places. Why don't they give you free?
I got a free croissant and
so
cup
then
of
what
coffee.
The hell do you want to write off? You didn't spend a dime.
Yeah, but
spend money.
Like now I'm hungry.
You
so I wish I spent some money for lunch.
Oh, you want to spend the money so you get the write off?
Yes.
Instead of it for free.
I can't get it for free.
Okay, you know what? The value of the food that you get at a restaurant could be considered income. So be careful. Don't talk too much because the IRS might be listening, all right?
Barter. I don't charge
and
you for
other
5 minutes
fees, you know, like taxis, internet access fees, phone calls, tips, laundry charges, all can be the business write-off if it's part of the business trip. Beautiful thing. You have to track everything. You have to keep good records, the receipts, and anything else that proves that your business...
How do you prove the time you spent?
Well, you have itineraries, you have agendas, programs, you keep a calendar, and you write down who you visited. Like if you have a business meeting, you've met with, you know, Jean-Claude, and you discussed whatever.
Jean-Claude?
I just made that name up.
What, Van Damme?
No. Keeley. He was a famous skier in the 60s. He won a lot of Olympics.
Never heard of that guy.
He won Olympic medals in the 1968.
I don't
Jean-Claude Keeley.
I don't believe this crap.
It's true. It's
what
true.
Is coming out of your mouth at this point?
So be reasonable. The IRS can review this. So unless your typical business affords you to stay at the Ritz-Carlton and rent a Rolls-Royce or stay in a penthouse, don't go there because it's going to be considered frivolous. It has to be reasonable based on facts and circumstances.
I think
Jean-Claude Keeley is a former champion alpine ski racer.
There you go.
Okay.
Look at your crap. You're pulling crap out of your ass.
Okay.
I love it.
So the woman knows what she's talking about. So now let's see. So what are some of the things that you're going to write off? The rules of a business trip. Any day you're traveling to and from a business destination gets to be the write-off. The day you have a pre-scheduled appointment and the day you spend at least 4 hours on business. You hear that? 4 hours.
Okay.
That's the rule. You can deduct, as I said, your travel expenses, your hotel, your transportation costs, and those other incidentals, your meals during the business for a business meeting, okay? Not your lunch. If you spend 8 hours working and you eat lunch in the middle of the day all by yourself or something, that's not deductible. But if you take the client or the customer or an associate out to lunch and talk business in the eight-hour day, that would be considered deductible. Got it?
Got it.
So there's also another way. And if there's also a per diem method. If you're traveling to San Francisco and you're going to be there for 4 days, the IRS has charts, different cities, and you can deduct the per diem rate. They give you a hotel per diem rate, a meal per diem rate, and that might be easier rather than collecting all those receipts. And it, and like I said, it's different cities because different cities are more or less expensive. So if you go into Sioux City, Iowa, you're not going to have the same per diem rate as if you go to Miami.
What's with you and random things today? Like Jean-Claude Keeley, okay. Now Sioux City, Iowa.
We were in Sioux City, Iowa, you and I.
We were?
Yes, we were there.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, I know.
When was that?
When we traveled to Wyoming that year, and we went to Yellowstone.
I just remember going to St. Paul. I remember we stayed in St. Paul because it was cheaper than Minneapolis. Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, okay.
I remember driving around looking for hotels on the side of the road.
Oh, that was your favorite part of the trip, finding a hotel.
Finding always wanted to want the pool.
Well, always with the pool, as if we didn't have a pool in our backyard.
It doesn't matter.
Okay,
so... You were sitting in a car with no air conditioner because you were so cheap.
Oh, you're so full of crap.
Cheap penny pincher.
Oh, you know, Drew, I'm going to smack you.
You should smack me. I deserve it.
So now, as I said, don't deduct your kids, your wife, unless they're part of the trip, and don't forget to keep your documents, okay? So that's how you write off a business trip.
So, question.
Yes.
So, I'm going to Italy.
You're going to Italy. Is there any business reason? Now, if you were, say, a person interested in importing Italian food or wine, and you were making visits to vineyards or going to explore different factories that produce different kinds
of... What if I own a restaurant and was doing like research on
food? Well, that could work. If you're doing research on to develop a menu or some sort
of restaurant,
learning
like
how to do certain techniques,
like
cooking
down the
techniques.
Road, I do want to own an Italian restaurant one day. Can I prove that? Can I justify that?
Well, if you're doing research for down the road, I don't know.
15 years.
Yeah, 15 years. No, the answer is
why
no.
Are you crushing my dreams? You're a dream crusher.
I'm a dream crusher. Can I now talk quickly about if you own a vacation home, how you can write off your
Hell
vacation
yeah, let's
home?
Let's go.
Okay. Now, I know you don't own a vacation
home
yet.
I own nothing.
Someday you may.
Hopefully.
So you can convert your vacation home into a business by renting it out. And there's a lot of rules, and I'm just going to go quickly over them because they're very, very detailed. So if you own a vacation home and you rent it out all year round, that's considered a business, and you just write off the income and the expenses and treat it as a business. You depreciate your house, and that's a rental property. That's straight up. Now, if you own a second home, and you rent it out to friends for, say, a week or two, during the summer, anything less than 14 days or less, you don't have to declare that income. That's for the whole year. 14 days for the whole year, you don't have to declare that income. That's not considered a business property. After that, anything...
Wait, yep, so it's tax-free?
Tax-free. Now if you have a Lollapalooza concert going into your town and they're going to have a million people coming in and you want to rent your house out for a week to these people who concert goers.
I remember the convention when it was in New York City.
So you can rent it out and you can make $10,000 for the week and that's going to be tax free. Isn't that great?
Now, awesome. We should totally
awesome.
Do that.
Yeah, we should all do that. I think it's a great idea. So that's a good idea. I came up with that one today. Now, if you have a second home and you rent it out, say, for the whole season, that could be considered a hobby, not a business. And
so not to report that income?
No, you got to report the income. And the thing about a hobby is you're not really allowed to necessarily pick up the losses from a hobby. So you have to be careful about how that works out. Try not to get into a hobby situation with a loss. The one most important thing about having a second home, a vacation home, and converting it to a business property of some kind, whether you rent it out for a few weeks, or a whole season, or a whole year, is when you sell a home, and this is going to apply to a lot of people right now who own second homes. If you don't use it as a business, you use it strictly as your second home, and you have a loss on it, which a lot of people are looking at, you cannot write that loss off. That loss, you just eat it. If it has a gain on it when you sell it, you get to pay capital gains tax. But if you have a loss on it, you don't get to write it off. It's a very unfair situation. However, if you convert your...
I'm not really crying for the person who owns a second home.
If you own a second home and you convert it to some sort of a rental property, whether you rent it for the season, long term, or whatever, and you have a loss on that property, you can write that loss off and off your taxes and save some taxes. So there's a good benefit for that. And so people may want to convert their second homes into rental properties if they're considering selling it in the next few years. So they have a loss situation. So I really recommend looking at that. There's all kinds of rules about vacation home.
What about a boat?
Boat works. You can use that as a second home, and you can rent that off, and it falls into the same rules as a vacation home. It could be an RV trailer. It could be anything that has a place for you to sleep, a place for you to cook, and there was another...
Have a bathroom?
I have to have a bathroom.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Because I was going to say, my car can do all that stuff.
Now, also,
I don't own a car either, but I was talking hypothetically.
If you rent it to a relative, that's not considered business use. So even if you have your parents and you charge them $1,000, or you have a brother and sister who are going to go down the shore and use your house for 2 weeks, and you charge them a couple $1,000.
That's cold-blooded.
That's not
that's cold-blooded.
A
that's
rental.
Just, that's just mean.
That's
you would
considered
do that.
Personal.
You would do that. You would charge your family to rent your house, huh?
No, I wouldn't do
yes,
that.
Yes, you would. Listen, look at the smile on your listen, face gives you away.
I'm smiling because we're up to the part where we're going to take a break from here. And what, we're
going
to come back.
Are you
back.
Happy we're going on break?
We're
going
to come back with Andrew's new segment. Okay? We'll be back in a minute.
Get away,
get away.
Hey, you got to have a passport if you're rolling with me.
We can hit Jamaica or we can chill in France.
Yeah,
roll with a player, you could bring a friend.
Yeah,
you in the presence of some players. The military do it big.
Hey,
we can hit Hawaii or the Caribbean.
Yeah,
we can do it major, chilling on the sand. Be stressing every day, cause the way that you're living, see it in your face, ain't no faking the feeling. We can get away and be chilling. We can get away.
This is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. We're getting past our vacation, and now we're going to go into the new segment that started last week. I think it's called Andrew and His 2 Cents. So Drew's going to tell us, give a piece of his mind over here. Go ahead.
I'm waiting for the song. I like the song. Can I enjoy the song?
It's really a continuation of Andrew versus the Law.
Yes.
The evolution of...
I think that was an excellent segment. I wish I could use that name. Not so sure about the 2 cents, but we're going to get there. Today... I want to talk
what
about...
What are you talking about today, Drew?
I was about to get there.
Give me your 2 cents.
Wow. I want to give you a lot more than two. I want to give you a five. I want to talk about managing your time effectively, efficiently, and how to optimize your amount of money you're making.
So you're going to tell us how to make more money.
I want. I'm like, it's more of like an expressing my ideas because I'm not... doing it, I think, as efficiently and effectively as I should.
No, you
and it's
don't.
Like a brainstorming kind of thing here, I think.
Brainstorm, just, so all of us can jump
I,
right
you
in.
Know, if someone wants to call in and they have some 2 cents that they, their own 2 cents they want to chime in, that's
okay.
Great. You know, okay. The number is 718-497-2128.
Okay, cool.
Recently, I'm going to get a little personal here. I don't know if you're going to be happy with this, but I was... You don't want to talk about that?
Don't you dare.
You don't want to talk about that?
No, don't you dare.
Right. I recently have an obligation that's taking up a lot of my time. On a weekly basis where it's just creating a little havoc in my life. And it's causing me to rearrange my schedule.
But you're not making money during this. It's lost time.
Yes.
Lost time. Let's be clear. Okay, go ahead.
You know, and so it just has created a lot of havoc in my life. And I'm just trying to reschedule my life so that I can do what I need to do as well as doing what I need to do on the other hand.
Wait. Do what you need to do. Be a little more
like
specific.
Working,
work and make money.
Working and keep my normal schedule with my clients.
Yes.
And then what this other thing that I need to do. I just want to say it. No. Okay. So I have been going without lunches most days lately because I'm trying to multitask, handle emails, phone calls from all my other clients, and then also
you
do
think
the,
that eating... You think that
Jack, that was funny. Is this like the start of the soundtrack? Because it's only going to get worse.
Do you think that eating takes up a lot of time?
Eating takes up time. Oh, it takes you at least 5 minutes to leave, find something to eat.
Oh, okay.
It's like a half hour to go get food.
Well, if you brought your own lunch, you wouldn't have that problem.
That would involve cooking at home, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't have time to cook when
I get home. Well, why don't you, since you work for so many food places, why don't you schedule your day so at lunchtime you're at a food customer and you can eat for
free? My schedule varies day to day.
Okay.
And I'm not always at a restaurant
or a
bar.
I'm just coming up with ideas.
I know, and I appreciate your ideas.
Okay.
And I just find that, you know what, I need to like block off time and not respond to other people while I'm doing what I'm doing because it creates havoc in my schedule.
Yes, right. Okay.
And like multitasking is really, as great as it sounds, incredibly inefficient.
Well, most men are really lousy at it, by the
way. I'm a fantastic multitasker, but it creates more stress.
No, but most men are not nearly as good at it as women. It's a physiological thing that in their brain. It's true. I swear this is true. That there's a thing in the men's brain that is different from the women's brain, and women can do it and men can't.
Well, luckily, I was raised by two women. My mother and my grandmother's, or three. I don't know. There's a lot of women in my life. That genetic thing rubbed off on me.
You still got that physiological problem.
Yeah,
I'm
really good at it. But it just takes away from what I'm really trying to do every day.
Yes,
and it just like, and that takes out of the end of the, at the end of the day, it creates more time in my day.
What creates more time in your
multitasking
day? Creates more time in your day.
Because
accomplishing it.
Yes, accomplishing multiple tasks at the same time.
Yeah.
Because then I'm trying to do one thing for someone who's not paying me usually when I'm answering an email or a phone call.
Yeah.
Because I don't charge for a 5 minute phone call, which maybe I should, but.
Yeah.
So then it takes away from my current client, and then I'm there for a longer period of time. Then I back out the 5 minutes or half hour that whatever it was that I was doing, and now I'm half hour later working, not getting home nearly as early.
What a lot of people do is they block off time to respond to emails and respond to phone calls.
I've heard this too, but the problem is life isn't that simple and straightforward.
Okay,
so where
but
like,
you can block off, say, once an hour, 5 minutes at the end of each hour.
But then I'm still taking away from my current.
Or then,
are you answering all your emails on the phone?
Yeah.
Like all the time?
Or even on the computer. I'm on a computer, so I constantly is emails coming in.
Well, that's inefficient.
I understand that.
So you have to wait. You have to give yourself, you know, and not
everybody. But my problem is I like to respond to things quickly.
I understand, but that's inefficient, and that's what's causing you some stress. So you're asking for suggestions. I'm telling you that a better situation is if you allot either 5 minutes at the end of each hour, or you wait till the end of the time spent with the client, whether it's a 2 hour session or a 3 hour session, and then devote 10 or 15 minutes to responding. Not everybody has to be responded to instantaneously, and you're creating your own stress.
Thank you.
True. I have the same problem though.
Everybody's got that problem.
It's hard.
Everybody's got that problem.
And it just takes away from the rest of my day. And it just creates more.
No kidding. And you're not getting everything done. And
no.
So now you're not making as much money as you should be.
Exactly.
Well, you got to block out time. A lot of people back in the day would let their answer machines answer. And they would then go to their answer machine at 12 o'clock or at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock and play the messages and then go back to the phone. Because the phone is the same thing. It's a disruption. This email is even further disruption.
I think the phone's worse than email.
Well, it's six of one, half a dozen the other. So I if you want a suggestion, and I'm going to just wrap this up. You have one more minute. If you want a suggestion, block out some time. Try it that way. See if you get
and one more
make
thing.
More money.
Patrick Martin's the guy who started the station. He gave me some good advice and said, take an hour and go unplugged.
Yeah.
And just with a pen and a pad.
And put your head into
figure
the
figure out what you
got to
do
right.
And shut everything else off.
Yeah, but sometimes an hour is not enough. An hour might be something to get something really complicated
an
done.
An hour a day.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is I'm like on a computer.
Yeah.
So I'm usually like logged into my email in the background or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and then an email pops up and then you're like, all right. Or either that or just sort it.
And then you get disrupted. And then you get disturbed.
Okay. That and clients are really annoying when I'm trying to process information.
You can't say that on air. They might be listening.
When I'm trying to process information.
Not annoying.
They're disruptive.
They don't help you make more money. You make less money.
No, not even that. No,
it's about
just,
money.
It's not about. It's about managing my time efficiently.
Well,
because managing my time efficiently would then create more money for me.
Correct.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
And create better answers for
them
as well.
That's right. Absolutely.
So like when I'm sitting there working and then like they ask questions and stuff and it's like, whoa, like I'm just trying to get this done and then I can answer your question properly and efficiently.
Well, you need to control that situation. You have to tell them, I'll get back to you. Let me finish what I'm doing here.
Uh-huh. But, you know, I like the creativity that it sparks, you know?
Yeah.
Which is also fun and, like, more exciting than processing information. All right, fine.
Well, Andrew.
So the
did we parlay your synopsis 2 cents thing is, into $2 now?
I hope so, because, you know, I could use a little bit more than $2.
Yeah. Well, it's a good start. 2 cents to $2. You made 100% return. No, 1,000% return. Something like that. All right,
no,
we're
going to
go. We're going to go do number
one,
nuts
two,
now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay. You know, a little while ago, you complained, as usual, about how cheap I was. When you were a kid, I wouldn't even let you put the air conditioner on, which was not true. So I'm going to tell you the true cost.
We slept in the same room because we couldn't turn on air conditioners.
Oh, you're so
I had to pay 25 cents every time I left the lights on.
Oh, good. See?
Yeah.
So now here's the true cost of being a soccer mom or having your kid in sports. I'm going to give it to you, okay? Everybody wants their kids to be, you know, an Olympian or go pro and everything, but it's not happening. So we're going to calculate. You guys are going to tell me what you think it costs for these kids to play these various sports.
Oh,
or
Andrew,
after
did
school.
You play sports?
Oh,
no,
God.
I'm not very good at athletics.
He's such a liar. He played.
She wouldn't let me. It was too expensive, she said, growing up.
He played
baseball.
Jack.
I couldn't even get a glove.
Football, basketball.
I used to get a kickball because it was the cheapest thing. And she's like, go play.
He's lying.
Turn that into a baseball.
He's
you
lying.
Can do it.
He's lying.
That's, Jack,
and
it was awful.
So
it was horrible growing up.
Okay. So.
And if anyone wants to doubt me, call up. I will straighten you right out because Joanne is the cheapest person in the world.
No, she's not.
Let's see.
No frills.
No frills.
No frills potato chips. You know how bad no frills potato chips are? They are awful, Jack. I would not recommend them on my worst enemy.
Would you shut up?
No, you shut up.
Let's assume.
You shut up. Stop talking.
The salary for the person to drive them around to get them all over the place is $16.27. That's the median hourly rate for all occupations.
Jack, can we get like a shut up?
No.
Like a sound effect for just
Drew.
Shut up.
Got it right there.
Drew.
Could you record that? Can we get
Drew.
That? Joanne.
How much do you think it costs?
$16.20.
10 years.
An hour.
$16.27. So how much do you think it costs? You figure a kid average plays 10 years of sports, right? Or goes to these classes. He plays hockey. He has to go to practice 2 hour sessions per week. He has to go to the game. He gets on the travel team every weekend. He has to travel to nearby states. And if he gets really good, he has to go up to Canada.
Jeez.
How much do you think, time-wise or dollar-wise, it costs for 10 years of a kid to play hockey?
Just travel,
16,
travel and
just
time?
Just the time. Not okay. The money, of course. Never mind the cost of the
time.
Equipment.
Just time.
The time
gotcha.
That the so parent wait, has to put.
You
using $16. Give me the number of hours.
An hour?
$16.27 an hour.
Okay.
How much in 10 years do you think that parent has
10
put
years?
In?
Right,
10 years.
That's a lot.
Jesus Christ.
Depends. Do they go to every game? Yeah, I guess
well,
so.
Well, you know, you got to
yeah,
take
like
them
you
to
did.
Practice.
Yeah, just like she came to every one of my games, Jack.
Let's see.
Jack,
my
okay.
God.
Let me tell you.
It was awful.
Let me tell you. This will be watching. That's what I did.
About that.
That's what I did.
Jack,
when my
mic.
Kid when
here,
my
Jack.
Kid hit his one and only home run in the East River, I
you
was
were there.
There.
For that?
I was there.
That was my only home run
one
ever.
One and only. And my daughter hit a one and only home run in Oklahoma. I wasn't there for
someone
that.
Someone asked me a question and I and she
can
said can
you please
cheer.
Tell me how
and
many
said,
hours
were you embarrassed by
do
your
we have choices
cheer?
Or are we guessing?
All right, you
just
want
guessing?
Me to give you a choice?
$160,000.
$160,000 grand over 10 years.
That's right. How did you know that?
Just multiply it by 10,000.
Yeah, 1,000. 1,000 hours.
Spot on.
Yeah.
162,000.
I am smart.
Wow.
All right, well, let's see how smart he is.
Jack. Give me the shut up. Give
Jack,
me the shut up.
Jack. Here, I'll give you. I'll give
shut
you.
Up.
Watch how he's
shut up.
Smart. Watch how not smart he is now. Gymnastics, okay?
$5.
Now. You got to go. He has to go to the gym for 9 hours a week.
He?
It's a boy, yeah.
Wow. That's sad.
And the bad thing is, by the time he hits a certain age, there's no future for him in that. Very few colleges have men's gymnastic teams. But up until, you know, he hits that puberty thing where his body changes, okay? How many hours do you think he has to, they have to put in
hopefully
for this?
Hopefully zero.
No.
It's like, men's gymnastics.
Gymnastics, third grade he starts.
It's men's gymnastics. To, I wouldn't drive him anywhere.
That's tough.
I'd be like, go
9 hours a week. All right.
Hide in the
9 hours a week. That was my guess, actually.
Can I beat him?
No, 9 hours a week. The kid's got to go to gymnastics.
Why is this kid going to gymnastics?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're going to spend.
Is he confused?
82 hours a year, $133,000. It's expensive.
Wow.
How
for
about
gymnastics?
Soccer? How about soccer? Travel team.
$1 million.
A lot of season, a spring and fall season. You know, what else?
$225,000.
Two practices a week, two games on weekends.
$225,000
a year or 10 years?
10 years.
Well, you're close. 320 hours. $52,000.
What?
Okay. Yeah. 32 hours a year. That's what it says.
Times 10, 320 times
16. Ballet or dance, okay? You got a girl who goes to ballet class, and then she gets better, and she takes another class.
This is
added.
The worst. Can we stop this?
There's another class,
Jack,
another class.
Get with the shut up.
How much? All right, I'm just going to skim through. How much do you think it costs to raise a little ballerina?
50 almost grand.
$80,000 in 10 years.
No way.
Football. Andrew played football.
He did not.
Andrew played football
why
at Stuyvesant High School. He was
why
a peg leg.
My high, why you put my information
leg.
Out there?
They were lousy.
Why you put my information out there?
$68,000. Baseball. Andrew played baseball,
he did
too.
Not
played
play
baseball from the time he was
it
six.
It was a kickball.
You played
it
baseball.
It was a kickball you gave me.
$42,000. Horseback riding. That's an expensive
That's
one.
That's expensive.
$122,000. So the next
basketball.
Time you want your kid to join
bucks.
A sport,
put them on
think
a
about
court.
How much time it's costing you. Never mind the equipment. The
You know,
the
I think
practice.
The theme we're getting here is it's either college or sports as a kid. You got to choose one.
Well...
I think so.
I think it's important to play sports. Look, it raises a very flexible, team-spirited, competitive kind
Ooh.
Of person.
I work by myself and hate everyone.
Okay. And you know what, Jack? Next week,
I even hate you.
Next week, we're going to start with a fresh, clean
slate. I'm not
slate.
Coming.
See? Oh, well, we're on vacation next week.
Even better.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The following is a message from Zingerman's. From June 30th to July 3rd, 2011, come hang out at Camp Bacon, a four-day festival hosted by Zingerman's. The main event is an all-day affair at Zingerman's Roadhouse featuring plenty of bacon, bacon learning, and such luminaries as Alan Benton, John T. Edge, Molly Stevens, and more. The event will be taking place in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Proceeds from this event benefit Southern Foodways Alliance. Also, on Friday, July 1st, there'll be a special benefit performance featuring Andre Williams and the Gold Stars and special guest John Langford and Skull Orchard. Visit www.zingermanscampbacon.com for more information and for tickets. Once again, that's www.zingermanscampbacon.com.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. This week, all over the internet and also in all of the meat trade papers, as well as in this particular article on digital trends, a story has been running about the poop burger. Japanese scientists have found a way to create artificial meat from sewage containing human waste. Mitsuyuki Ikeda, a researcher from the Okayama Laboratory, has developed steaks based on proteins from human excrement. Tokyo Sewage approached the scientists because of an overabundance of sewage mud. They asked him to explore the possible uses of the sewage, and Ikeda found that the mud contained a great deal of protein because of all the bacteria. The researchers then extracted those proteins, combined them with a reaction enhancer, and put it in an exploder, which created the artificial steak. The meat is 63% proteins, 25% carbohydrates, 3% lipids, and 9% minerals. The researchers color the quote-unquote meat red with food coloring and enhance the flavor with soy proteins. Initial tests have suggested people say that it even tastes like beef. This has been Behind the Scenes Food News with Kate Kiefer.
HeritageRadioNetwork.com has its own architecture show dedicated to the built environment, hosted by Curtis B. Wayne.
check out a small clip of burning down the house.
So if we look at tall buildings and we talk about the wind blowing over them, we have all these different variants on, is it a horizontal rotor, like the big wind turbines that you see off of Aarhus in Denmark, I think it's where it is, and the local people are very proud of it, or Falmouth, where the locals are not happy at all. Out west, there are enormous wind farms, but they're far from habitations, and so the low-frequency sound that's generated by those turbines is not a problem. But what we don't want in terms of taking this notion, this notion of the future and making it beautiful and bright and clean and silent, is to create...
Want to hear more? Well, tune in live to Burning Down the House every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. or check out past episodes in our archive or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Thanks for listening.